Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology, speaking to you on Monday evening. We are three astrologers. We get together and talk about what's going on astrologically and how that shows up in our lives. And we're happy to talk about people's charts as well. So we'll give you a phone number. You can phone in and ask your questions. And you can also email in at other times. But let's start with introducing. I'm Mark Waltz, and I am in New York on the island of Manhattan over by the Hudson River. And I'm joined by
Ann Ortley here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, also in Manhattan.
And Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you from the banks of the Mississippi in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay, so we're all of us hanging out by the water.
Having fun.
It's one nice thing about New York. You never really are far from the water.
Right.
That's right.
It's hard to see.
It's a watery universe here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It is. So that eclipse, how's it been feeling for you guys?
I want it to go away. Like, leave me alone. Leave me alone. You go, wait, you mean old eclipse? I just am ready for it to, like, go find somebody else to bother. That's my feeling. Mm-hmm. Although I have to say I've been very productive. I've gotten a great deal done, which is good. That part's been helpful. But at the same time, it's like, oh, man, just go away already. You know, so I'm ready for it to leave, personally.
Okay.
I feel
I've noticed.
Next time this total eclipse comes around, I really do need to get it together to get on an airplane and go to where you can see it. Because I saw those photos of it, and it looked pretty impressive.
Yeah, it really did. Especially all the Easter Island statues in black, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite amazing.
To work your way up to it by bringing yourself, you know, what is it that you really are ready to let go of when the eclipse happens?
Right.
Yes.
Well, I know with me it's like, okay, you know, man, ready to go. And I have been releasing.
Like there were two cases today where someone got really mad at a workplace or with a relative and shot them all up and killed a few. Sometimes the eclipse seems to hit on the sore nerves. You know, most of us just feel like, okay, ready to let go of a few things. Others, it seems to really hit on sore nerves.
Yeah.
I know it's how it hits our chart, but also what's happening in our chart, mainly how threadbare those nerve endings are.
Because they can be really thin. really thin, where people just feel like, man, my every last nerve is really on edge. Yeah.
And I've also really noticed since Venus went into Virgo, joining Hygieia right now, the asteroid about health, Vesta in Virgo, Mars in Virgo, and Saturn in Virgo, all under a Cancer sun, even though that Leo moon and the Leo Mercury are saying, tell your story, and it's a very extroverted side that really wants to be heard but isn't really talking about what's going on inside, that there's that Venus-Mars lineup in Virgo, which I have Nayli in my chart so I can vouch for some of this, but I'm noticing that people are sort of clamming up about what's going on inside of them and taking offense at the other people doing it too. Everybody seems to be taking offense and hearing any comment made or any comment not made as if it is a criticism. And I've noticed in several groups and classes that people were a little less willing to take intellectual risk. They wanted to less put themselves out there because they might be wrong. And that this isn't, you know, that's the downside of Virgo. And if they could, you know, I'm looking at my garden, and it's a beautiful garden if I look at the flowers, and it's a horrible garden if I look at the weeds.
Right.
Same garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's my choice of focus.
Right.
And if we are feeling like everybody is looking at us that way, usually it's us that's looking at ourselves that way.
Right.
But that, and the Virgo quality wants to push us to improve our health, to improve the health of our country, to improve what's going on around each other, to make good suggestions. The trouble is everybody is hearing those good suggestions as if they are criticism and isn't taking it too well.
Mm-hmm.
And that the improving quality, we have to start off with that where we are right now is fine. It's perfect. Now, how do we make it more perfect?
Right.
Because otherwise I'm hearing just a lot of recreational bitching and triangulating, like people colluding about talking about how bad the third person is. Because if we can get the discomfort of criticism out of our own soul, it's a lot easier to blame the government, blame a person, blame the other person on the team that's not in the room, rather than just sit with the discomfort of seeing that which needs fixing.
Right, right.
And being kind about fixing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm noticing this little defensive action going on in most relationships. And that Virgo can also be the Florence Nightingale energy. It can also be the just a beautiful, poised, caring, compassionate place if it can unhook from that defensive pattern. Because the criticism, I think, is I see as a result of the defensiveness and the result of the being hard on oneself, not necessarily the primary issue of Virgo.
Right. Well, because
yeah,
people are so reactive, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, Mark?
Yeah, I was saying that's very true. And, you know, we are getting a last look at that as Saturn leaves Virgo.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's been doing work on this for a while now.
Right. So
as right before that Saturn leaves, there's a Saturn-Mars conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also about, you know, the sensitivity of Virgo, because it is so thin-skinned. It's about saying to Virgo, okay, I know you're feeling criticized, but it's not meant as a criticism. Mm-hmm. And you kind of are really pushing on my buttons today, you know, and I appreciate that you're doing that, which is a growth opportunity for me. At the same time, I don't really want another growth opportunity.
All right, let me grow on my own.
Let me grow on my own and leave me alone, you know. But, yeah, it was kind of like cool.
You can water me, but that's it. Don't prune me.
Right, yeah.
An AFGO, yes.
Right. Yeah, so it's definitely one of those, okie dokie, what are we doing here? And I think when you kind of are in the mix of the eclipse, you know, I know with me, I've just been ill. I mean, I ate food, I got diarrhea, I kind of was, no, sorry for the people in the audience who really thought that was a little too much information. But I was like, what the heck, you know, like, what's going on here? And there's this whole feeling that you're just kind of in the middle of this major stuff going on, and how do I handle it? What do I do with it? And I think when we're aware of it and we kind of go, okay, let me just work with the energy. How do I work with the energy productively? Then you can say, okay, I take Pepto-Bismol and I go to bed. But then you go, next, what do we do next? And I think part of the whole energy of it is saying, what is it we can do to help ourselves? What is it we can do to help the other people that we're with? And as we're working with people, because we are, you know, every time we go out and talk to someone, we're working with people that we can say to them, we can say to ourselves, okay, how do I give myself permission to have these feelings, which are pretty intense, and not take it personally if someone reacts negatively to me? And then also give myself permission to just say, I really need to go to bed now, you know, or I really need to whatever now. There's a sense with an eclipse that you don't have any break because the energy just pushes. And I think that is also part of it, is you have to build the breaks in yourself. You have to say, okay, I need to go to bed now, goodbye. And give ourselves permission to do that, you know. So I find them fascinating. I love watching them. I love watching the stories that you've seen kind of percolating below the surface erupt with a request to you to say, fix it, change it, do something now. And everybody feels so compelled to do something. When it's been, in fact, a situation that can have been in their life for a long time already, but they never did anything about it up until now. So, or they watched it, but they didn't know that they could do anything about it. Now they feel like they can and they have to. No.
On a totally other side, mm-hmm. I'm watching with great glee the Psychic Octopus story.
Oh, I love the Psychic Octopus. Yes.
I didn't hear this one.
In Germany, there's an octopus that has been has 100% batting average of picking the winners of the World Cup matches.
Mm-hmm.
They
uh-huh.
put food in two clear boxes with the flags of the two competing countries behind it, and the one that he goes to eat is
the one that wins.
Is the one that wins,
mm-hmm.
and he has picked every single one. He
yep.
picked. All the way through, and at first I thought he was just getting Germany because he was German.
Right.
Once
Germany lost, then he started doing well after that, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's a phenomenon of we don't know whether that he is precognating who wins. Is someone in around him precognating, and he's picking up on the he's intuiting
which food
or
is the right one to
from the audience, right? Or just you know the feeling that you know if you can put your hand over a card, if you've got three cards down, you're trying to try and find the one that's a spade. Sometimes if you run your hand over, you can feel one has more energy than the others. It's particularly better if it's not just something like a random card, but if you have the names of three people who might be able to help you, you know, do something, and you put your hand over those three names, sometimes you can feel a little bit more energy in one than you can the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this one's going somewhere.
Right, right.
So I have a feeling that that's when he felt the energy coming from that flag because of the, rather than precognition, just the energy building up in that country. Right before it won. But we can't parse it down or separate it. We just know that magic
right.
is happening there.
But it's fascinating, Mark, because they have a YouTube picture, and they show the octopus, and then they show you the boxes. And he actually opens the box and crawls into the one that wins. And he's done it. You know, I mean, he keeps picking the right one. You know, they have the history of, okay, he picked this box this day, and then he picked this box, you know, and he's been the
he's
correct.
He's not been wrong once.
He's not been wrong once. He's a psychic octopus.
And you don't figure that somebody's fixing those games just for the octopus to win?
Right, just to make the octopus happy.
Right.
Make
everybody in their country unhappy, but make the octopus happy. Right.
Right.
But I think that Venus opposed Neptune, and it has been very intuitive and very perceptive, but not always seeing clearly. But it's interesting that, you know, the octopus, Paul the octopus, is Neptune in 3,000 different ways. He's an intuitive, and he lives
yeah.
in the ocean.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got many hands as a tongue.
And he's Aquarian, so he's kind of weird. He's a weird psychic, you know?
Right. But that's an interesting part of the process right now, that our intuition is leaking. And I'm also noticing that that's also sometimes when people get a little defensive. If they know people are feeling prickly, but they're not sure who was where and when.
Right.
And around the edges of that. I'm also feeling that Mars-Saturn conjunction coming up.
Heather, you're kind
at of, the end of the month.
Making creaky little noises.
What?
Your phone's making weird little noises. Are you hearing it on
yes.
your end? No.
I'm not hearing
it sounds like. Sounds like you're partly underwater.
Yeah.
Talking with Paul.
Oh, interesting.
You're hanging out with Paul the octopus.
Well, I might have to call back. I may have to call back on a different phone.
Well, now it's clear enough.
Now it's better.
Okay.
Whatever you just did.
Bizarre. But I stopped talking about the underwater Neptune.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe Paul felt we were talking about him.
Right.
Paul felt we were talking about him.
Right.
He's as good at blocking as he is intuiting.
Right.
But
right.
the Mars-Neptune conjunction, the Mars-Saturn, conjunction, tends to really lower our energies. And, it, you know, Mars is about to set off the T-square. Mars is going to first conjunct Saturn by the end of the month. In the beginning of August, it opposes Jupiter and Uranus and then and squares Pluto, which should be a very eventful, sometimes difficult, you know, confrontational time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Mars will
be that's, that's going to be a time to take care.
Right.
I always look forward to the Saturn-Mars conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
They're difficult because we feel, yeah, we feel a constriction in energy. But
I
also feel like it's a big, it's a reset button.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as a reset.
I will take that philosophy. I think that's a great one.
Yeah, because every time they start that cycle up again, it's Saturn saying to Mars, you know, or saying through Mars to me, you have to decide how to use your energy, and everything you decide, you're responsible for.
Right.
So you're responsible for your actions, and, you know, what kind of actions do you want to take during this Mars-Saturn cycle?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, line them up, make sense of them, and then stick to them. So that's what that's why I view it as a reset. But at the same time, we can, leading into it, that, you know, that week or two leading up to the end of the cycle that we're in, there's a feeling of constriction and a feeling that we haven't, maybe haven't quite been able to accomplish what we wanted to. So
right.
there's a kind of a drop in energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then when you start anticipating the new cycle, it's a little bit like, you know, New Year's Day, right? You can make those resolutions.
Right. Well, I think it also gives a sense of, you know, it is a new beginning because it is a union. So it also says, okay, how are you going to work with your Saturn over the next 2 years, 2.5 years? I find the blockage as it builds up is hard. And people feel like, oh, you know, it's nothing's moving. And then it joins with Saturn and it says, oh, okay, now I'm free. You know, and now I'm able to go forward. So it also, because it's in Virgo right now, it's feeling like it has to finish things up, and then it actually joins when they're in Libra. It actually joins on that when the T-square perfects. So I think we look at
right.
that T-square and say, you know, what is the energy? And I think, you know, we had a couple questions from readers, or listeners rather, about the T-square. And I think what the key for the T-square is to find in your chart the zero cardinal points, you know, 0 to 3, which means Aries, Libra is one side, and then the other axis is Cancer, Capricorn. So we have planets sitting at Aries, Pluto, Capricorn, and Libra section. And those planets are basically all at the same degree, so it's kind of like a cosmic traffic jam.
Mm-hmm.
And then they fight with each other. So kind of like when you pull up to an intersection and with a bunch of stop signs, there is a procedure and protocol for going through the intersection, but that moment when everybody gets there and they're all looking at each other, and that energy is what's happening. And they happen to all be mean planets, or malefics. We don't call them mean, per se, but malefic, meaning they can manifest in lower forms that aren't so pleasant, as opposed to Jupiter or Venus, which tend to be nice. So, and Jupiter is, normally we consider him to be a nice planet, but he's hanging out with mean guys, and kind of like your mother said, you know, if you're hanging out with mean, you're judged by your friends, and if you're hanging out with the bad crowd, you know, you can have a problem. So these five planets are going to be fighting, and Venus hops in there shortly after they have their fight. And then if you are Uranian astrologer, because somebody made mention of this, astrologers have studied the sky and have places where they think planets are going to appear. And we keep waiting when the jet propulsion people find a new one. Oh, did you find the one we were thinking about yet? And they haven't found them yet. But there's some other planets that are at the zero point of Cancer, particularly Hades and Kronos, which Hades is literally hell, and Kronos is power, you know, so it's a power structure, it's a power struggle that we're going to be working with under this energy. If you believe in Uranian planets, you know, marked sections of the sky that are sensitive that haven't have a planet identified yet. And if you're just looking at the T-square is enough. It's Mars and Saturn, Mars is a malefic, Saturn's a restriction. Mars is anger, war. Saturn is fight, fight, argue, argue. Opposite Pluto, opposite Jupiter, Uranus, change, explosions, and lots of big, big, big. And then they're both fighting with Pluto. And when Pluto went into Capricorn at this point, he caused the economic, or he reflected, he didn't cause, he reflected the economic collapse of Iceland and Greece. And then he went, you know, and now we have four more planets coming and saying, let's join the party and hang out with Pluto. So I think it's going to be a really interesting time. And I certainly, in terms of my clients, I've noticed a lot of people are at major crossroads in terms of figuring out what they want to do with their life and where they want to go.
I think that whole metaphor of the crossroad is exactly the T-square.
Mm-hmm.
And often we feel like we're standing at a crossroad with four horses pulling us in four opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still a quiet place. Actually, if the tension isn't equal. So it takes some, we have to participate and let it be something that moves us rather than just makes us feel holding still but being pulled apart.
Right. Yeah, it's a standing stillness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Definitely an interesting time. And.
But we.
Yep.
Do you want to give out the number of our podcast?
Our phone numbers? We have a couple
callers
already on the line. Guest
call
in number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And I've got a couple people that are listening. They have not pressed 1. If you want to get called on, you have to press 1, and that raises your hand, according to Sue. And it does seem to work. If you press 1, I'll call on you. If you didn't press 1 and you're just listening, no problem. All right, so we'll try and pick up a caller and see if we get them in.
Mm-hmm. And we have some other phone calls, emails for when we get a chance.
Okay, I think we might have a caller on the line. Are you there, caller?
Right. Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
I can hear us in the background. Caller?
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, hello?
Hi. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Did you have a
sorry to help you tonight.
First time calling in.
Okay, cool. What's your question?
I wanted to find out about the eclipse and how it's affecting my chart, and if it's close to two houses, does it affect both? And
yes.
Then I
well,
also want.
First of all, what's your birth information while you're asking the question?
March 28, 1978, 9:08 a.m.
1978 at 9:08
a.m. Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay.
And then
I'm sorry, what's the location?
Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I also wanted to know when will I get paid work, and then how does that all factor in with my travel plans in September and August?
That's a whole reading. We can give you one question here on the radio. So which of those questions? You're talking about how the eclipse is affecting your chart.
Okay.
I think
yeah.
That, you know, you're in I had March 28th, 1978, 9:08 a.m. in Alexandria, Virginia, right?
Yeah.
And you are an Aries with Moon in Scorpio and a Gemini rising. Sound familiar, Mark? And that with a Cancer Mars and Aries Venus, you've got a fair amount of squares in your chart, but a wonderful grand trine in fire signs with the Sun at 23 of Aries, Neptune at 18 Sag, and Saturn at 24 Leo. And what was the exact degree of the eclipse?
19 Cancer. So it was in her second
cancer.
House of money.
Mm-hmm.
Second house of money, opposite Ceres, squaring her Venus, a little wide on the Venus square. And then
right.
The other one, 2 weeks ago, was at 4 degrees of Libra, or 4 degrees squaring her nodes, which is the career focus of the question. So the eclipses basically are bringing up for you the eclipse. They're the career piece, because one of them is in the money. They're both in the house of money and, you know, being rewarded for your talent, and where do you need to go to get paid? and you know, kind of brings up the energy for you around work and stuff. So I think the question of work and the question of, you know, what do you do around your work life and where are you going with it, that's really the eclipse energy, very active. So that would be my take on that, the work question and the eclipse question are tied. So, and when do you get it? When do you get work? Probably pretty soon. You're either going to get it in the next week or so, or you're going to get it in September when Saturn comes to your north node.
You can see that in the chart?
Sure.
That's about what, the timing of it?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, that's predictive astrology. And all of us are predictive astrologers, so we can all look at the chart. So Saturn squaring your Jupiter, which for you is a co-ruler of your work, and that's finishing now, so it's ready to leave. And then Saturn coming to your north node, Saturn is a work planet. You know, it rules the house of work, and it rules how you're paid by money, and it rules your midheaven because you're Aquarius. So Saturn for you is a career planet, and he comes to your north node in September, beginning of September specifically. I can even give you the day. And that, you know, if it doesn't happen now, it will happen then. That would be my take. Heather, you got, Mark, you got
something? But again, with any good aspect in astrology, it doesn't insist. You have to do the work.
Yeah, you have to go
apply
for the job.
It's a doorway that opens,
right,
that makes it easier for you to do so. Mm-hmm. So the block is removed, but do you want to drive the truck through?
Right.
And there's so much ambiguity in this chart about being seen. You have such a, you know, Jupiter in the first house with a Gemini rising, and a lineup of Aries planets in 11th house is very sociable, very connected, very ready to be seen, and wants to work with people. The Moon in Scorpio, the Mars in Cancer don't want to be seen, don't want to work with people, and would like them to go sit on the tack. And with Saturn in
leave
the fourth
alone.
House, just, yeah, leave
yeah,
me alone.
Yeah, I'm both.
Right.
You are both to the max.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that you tend to send out very mixed signals to people. So one of the things that you need to do is take responsibility for applying for work that both sides of you can agree to, and to work on that inner conflict, so that you have enough time in the public and enough time in the private, so those two sides don't constantly undermine each other, and your private self doesn't pull you back from the people, and the people side doesn't pull you back from solitude. You need lots
yeah.
of both. And when you send out a clear message, like, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I can do for you, and this is the time off I need, then the world works. You have an amazing willpower, and the world wants to work with you, and people like you. But when you send out mixed messages, like, I like you, I mean, I want your job, but I don't really respect you, and I don't really like the job, but why aren't you paying me? And I want to be seen, but I don't, but I do, but I don't, then you don't get much feedback from the world.
Right.
So to take a really clear look at the messages you're sending out, and if you use the timing that Anne gave you and feel clear about the messages you're sending, like, all parts of you can agree to look for this job because you know that the other side of you, you know, if it's a public job, then your private side is well taken care of in the rest of your life. Or research job, then your public self has got some time.
Can I repeat to understand what Anne said, that something of Saturn in the north node is from next week to September?
No, next week Saturn gets off of your Jupiter, which for you is a work planet, right?
Okay.
And then Saturn, so that's next week. Now this week it's off of it, but we like 2 degrees separating. So it's finished the block, you know, which is the ambivalence about whether I want to work or not. And then Saturn comes to your north node on September 14th. And Saturn for you is a work planet. It rules your money from other people. It rules your midheaven because you're Aquarius rising. So you've got a couple, you know, so I would be really surprised if you didn't have a solid offer by the 15th, 14th of September. But your chart is now open to looking. It hasn't really wanted to look. You haven't really been in the mood to look for work.
Yes, that's true.
So if you're not looking, you're not going to find it, which is to Heather's thing, you know, like, well, I want to find somebody. Well, what have you done? And, you know, but if you haven't done anything, then nothing. But if you're actually looking, your chart is good to go on the 14th. You've got Saturn on the node, which should bring in a decent job that you actually like. But it's also about you being clear about what you want.
Yes.
And you have this whole thing about, like, I want to be creative, but I don't really want to have to work on the yucky part of the work. You get bored easy. And so when you get bored, when you get bored, you don't, you know, you kind of, no offense, turn a little slacker. And so employers go, well, you want this job, but you don't want that. But everybody's got to kind of do crappy work sometime. And you're like, I don't really want to do the crappy work. And they pick it up. They do pick it up. You know, I mean, you know, I've interviewed enough people over time.
Yeah.
You can tell if someone wants. So I had an HR headhunter guy say to me, because I'm like that too. I'm Aquarius rising. If it's boring, I'm not going to do it. If I'm interested, I'll do it. And he said to me, I want you to go for every job like you want it. I want you to interview like you want it and get the job, because I look good by sending you in there and them wanting you as a candidate. And I will turn it down for you if you don't want it. But I want you to go for every job like you want that job more than anybody in the room. Get the offer, and I'll handle it if you don't want to take it. But I want you to get them to want you. And I'm like, you know, that's really good advice. You can always turn it down, but get them to make you the offer. And if you set that as a challenge to your Aries planets, you'll have more offers than you know what to do with. But you have to not be so ambivalent about it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and when you kind of are wishy-washy, your Mercury, Venus squares the Mars in Cancer. Well, you know, I really don't want to do that. You know, do I have to do that? And they're like, uh-huh. And you're like, oh, okay. They're not going to hire you. You know, you're kind of a gum chewer, you know, hair twirler. And they go, oh, she's a lightweight. As opposed to seeing the real potential in this chart, which is a heavy-duty deliverer. You can really deliver with this chart when you're into it. When you're on
something.
Yeah. When you're on, there's nothing that stops you.
That's very true.
But so go for every job like you want it, huh?
And I also get easily bored by the mundane.
Yep, you totally do.
Right. So you need jobs that are intense, that are project-oriented versus 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
And that you respect enough to be willing to invest in.
Okay. Thanks so much.
You have there's another tendency for you to watch out for. You have a tendency to let go of what your vision is and what you're working toward, because you feel that other people are the deciding factor. And you need to not fall into that, because when you fall into the thing of, well, it's what other people decide that makes the difference, then you really let go of everything and you get lost. And you need to resist that. When you feel that feeling coming on, get a grip. You know, grab hold of yourself and say, I have to find what it is, even if I have to scale back, I need to focus more closely and really use my energy in a very focused way, and don't pay attention to what the other decisions around me are. Yes, they'll have an influence, but they're not the deciding factor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Thanks so much for all your
keep
comments.
Us posted. Let us know if you get a job.
Okay.
We're inquiring minds. We love to know.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Good.
All right. Next up. Hello, 646. You there?
Yes, I am.
You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi. I called before. I'm from Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And December 28, 1966. I have to get it one more time. And even if you've given it before,
we don't keep you.
You said okay. December 28, 1966. And what time?
Between 3 and 4.
A.M. or P.M.
How about 3:30?
A.M. Yes.
And where?
Haiti,
yeah, that's right. I remember your chart a little bit. How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
I'm okay. And what can we do for you tonight?
I've been trying for the past, 8 years trying to get pregnant, and I'm going through IVF cycle right now, and I'm trying to get my uterine wall to be a 9 centimeters in measurement. And I'm wondering if this is the right time for me at this point. do I have a good chance for a good attachment of the transfer of the embryo.
Okay. Mm. You don't have an exact time, though, so you're between 3 and 4 in the morning, right?
Yes.
Let me look at what the 4 is.
It says December. Is that correct? December 28th?
Yes.
Or is it? Yes, okay. So, it, you know, you've got some interesting aspects going on. There are things that support that and things that challenge the
yes.
whole concept of pregnancy here.
Yes.
And I can see by that full moon in Cancer that you were born in, because you're born with the sun in Capricorn, moon in Cancer with a Scorpio rising, that and the moon in Cancer in the eighth house, and I'm sure we talked about it this last time, but you know, there's a both a strong psychic connection with the women in your family of origin, and the role of being a mother, and a sense that being a mother can be a trap, and your whole mind body system is still working on believing in that. But 5 months ago, you started a progressed lunar new moon cycle, so the pattern that you've been in 5 months. Your progressed moon leaves Aquarius and enters Pisces, which is much more fertile than it is in Aquarius. And so instead of finishing a cycle, your chances of moving into a new beginning, and that new beginning could take the form of a child and a family, is supported by the progressed new moon. The fact that Pluto's coming up to your sun talks about that if you get pregnant or if you don't, you are heading into an identity crisis. And that if you get pregnant and you have a child, there's all the making sure that you don't feel that you stay in being a mother, that you become alive and you take care of the person that you've built all these years while you were waiting. And if you don't have the baby, you will have to focus on who are you now if you let go of that dream. But it's not quite time to choose that one. We still have this progressed lunar new moon in Pisces that talks about a pretty fecund and fertile time. But know that the Pluto whispering on your sun is going to be saying, we have to do this now. And you don't really. What you have to do is be true to yourself now. And feel that pressure and let back off the pressure from Pluto. Okay?
Okay.
And what do you see?
I'm looking at it. 2866, right? 66?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that when you're born at 3, you have Pisces on your fifth house cusp. If you're born at 4, you've got Aries. Pisces is a more fertile placement than Aries. So birth time is important here, and we do like to see it. You also have Jupiter and Uranus in September are stationing on your they're stationing together on your Saturn. So do you have money to do more than one IVF, or do you need to wait? I mean,
I have enough eggs frozen, so in
mm-hmm.
the bank. It's a matter of the doctor trying to get the wall to be
All right, so you actually look like you have a thick enough wall come September time frame, because
okay.
that's when the moon gets, you know, right now the moon's in Aquarius, which is not so thick, and
okay.
Jupiter and Uranus are meeting on your Saturn, which is the wall in your uterus. They're meeting there in September. So my
mm-hmm.
feeling is you may have to do hormones to get yourself thick enough through then
okay.
to be able to have the wall thick enough to hold.
Okay.
And that would be if you were born nearer to the 3 o'clock time than to the 4 o'clock time. And I, you know, I also feel Aquarius moon is a little more barren than a Pisces moon is, which is in about 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that Pisces moon shifts out if you're born at, that's in December. And if you're born at 4, that's sooner. The problem with an inaccurate birth time with this kind of stuff, the pregnancy is really timed by the part of the one of the big timers is the progressed moon. So just looking at the Jupiter-Uranus on your stuff kind of speaks to, yeah. So we're basically, I mean, I think you have the possibility. If it's more towards four, your chart's probably more past where it would need to be to have a child, you know, to get the walls thick enough without a lot of extra hormones. So, but you are having nice aspects to that, to the Jupiter. So it may actually catch and take. But I do like it a little bit better in the fall than right now. Because right now, the Jupiter and Uranus are in a barren sign. They're in a sign that doesn't want to make a baby.
Yes.
In the sense of it's, you know, they're in a fire sign that's a little hard to make a baby in. So
the doctor has requested I come back on the 27 because I'm doing some, I guess, estrogen.
Yeah, and he'll be able to monitor how much you've grown in that time. And he may say, we may need to continue this a little bit to make you thicker. Because it does look like it gets, you know, you've got Jupiter on the Saturn in when we get more into the fall. But right now it's kind of in a, it's in a fire sign that's fast moving and not necessarily interested in expanding the blood.
Okay, so.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, you know, you got the trine to Jupiter, which is nice. My concern would be if they discontinued the hormones, if you would then shed the uterine lining and then lose the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Which they have to kind of do once the egg's implanted, if the uterus would, the lining would stay, because Jupiter and Uranus are both stationing and going retrograde in a couple of, well, Uranus did, Jupiter's gonna next week, so.
Well,
so I'm
so
like.
Mark, do you have any last comments to make on that?
Not in particular, but I would look very closely at what's going on with both Saturn and Pluto, which you both mentioned, and you know, work with the. I think work with the timing that Ann was just mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk to them? Hello.
Hello. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm listening. Okay.
Okay. And very good luck. Again, I would say to look at being born on that. To look at the ambiguities that you still have around how do you be a full, the woman that you've been working on while you were waiting to have a baby, how do you be that full, wonderful, amazing woman and be a mother at the same time, and the clear an image that you have of how they feed off each other and how they can support each other rather than have to be a choice between one or the other. And again, I don't think this is a problem that you have personally. I think it's more a habit that ran in the women in your family that they had to make some tough choices in the past that you don't have to do. And the more you can really be whole about that, I wouldn't blame that for why you are not pregnant, but I would just say to work on that is to create a more conducive environment for pregnancy.
In terms of the family.
No, I don't understand. Yeah, that you can be an amazing woman in the world and a mother at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's coming up with the Pluto-Sun conjunction. So that's going to go into next year. It's this year and next year.
Okay. So good luck on that.
Thank
Keep
you.
Us posted.
And
I will.
Hopefully
Thank
it'll come
you.
In. We like those little babies. And you'll be
okay.
a good mom if
right.
you get if you get pregnant. So that part's good.
And call us with the birth time if you have one.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
And another caller?
I got another caller. We got 15 minutes left, and we got 347. You out there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Ann, it's Denise. We talked a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just have one question. I'm contemplating going abroad, and it's coming up really quickly. And I'm concerned a little bit about the T-square and traveling and just this kind of immediate decision to go. It is a spiritual retreat, and it's for a week, and my birthday falls in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, my birthday is August 7th, 1964. mm-hmm. at 1:40 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
in Englewood, New Jersey.
Okay. And so the question is, traveling on your birthday, so you'll be
yeah,
where?
I'll be there in mm-hmm. on my birthday on August 7th. I'd be leaving on July 30th.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of like, you know, I have just a lot of questions about whether it's appropriate to go.
Well, where actually are you going to be going?
Oh, I'm going to Manchester, England.
Okay. Because that always affects the angles and where you're going to be.
I see.
So I had somebody last year, we were looking, she was having all these different things, and it was actually kind of one of those, you know, you go, oh, wow, interesting story. She did have a change in location and put Uranus in her Pisces in her 12th house, ended up being woken up by a drunken woman throwing up in her hair.
Oh.
Really kind of one of those
real
interesting stories. So now I'm always like, so like, where are you going with this thing, you know?
Oh, okay.
Where are you going to be?
Yeah,
right, yeah, because to me that was like one of the all-time great stories. Huh? What?
That is pretty funny.
That is one of the all-time.
I remember sending my daughter to a double Venus line when she had Pluto transiting her Venus, and I mean Neptune transiting her Venus, and she fell in love with an alcoholic scuba diver, which was a double Neptune, if there ever was one.
Playing with fate always is fun.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yes, and that's
you know,
what this could
you're
be.
You're moving into a highly independent time, and you know, I don't think there's much that we could tell you, and you're so restless right now, your skin can crawl as the progressed moon squares Mars. I don't think that you're that worried about going. The eclipses have already loosened up your chart.
Yep.
So there's action in progress. The question is, where do you want to go to take care of that action? And going to a spiritual retreat, I think, is sort of for you kind of going into the heart of the action, because you don't tend, you know, you have Jupiter in the 12th house, so retreats are good and freeing for you. But you don't really retreat much. I mean, your chart tends to look outwards for response rather than inwards, although it's got a pretty introspective lineup around your Mercury. And I think that you've been so triggered this year by so many aspects.
Yes.
And you're at the last year of a very long cycle, and you're about ready to come back into yourself. That taking some time on retreat to integrate, to really process what you've been going through and catch up with yourself and look forward to the next. You'd be doing this wherever you were. You might as well do this officially.
Okay. I mean, it is a much more inward type vacation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been debating about. Should I go for the action-packed, you know, fun sort of vacation, or should I go for this meditation?
I think meditation is good as long as you get time to express yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, that bring your journal so that if no one feels like listening to you, you can write. You know, that you are being heard by the stars and the moon is important, even if people aren't ready to listen. So that, you know, I don't know if it's a silent meditation retreat or if it's, you know, a psychological workshop type meditation.
No, it's like teachings. It's a lot of teachings, mm-hmm. and it's partial meditation.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like it's got, from the Manchester chart, it looks like it's got group work involved.
Good, because sitting and listening isn't always your good idea of a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So listening and then responding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's. I would say go, because I like the Jupiter high in the chart. The sun and the moon are in the 12th house. That is also going to make the whole year be a little meditative for you, because you're moving the sun and the moon out of the third into the 12th. For the, you know, for your solar return chart. It gives you a focus. The sun then rules you, so it's a year about you. And it takes your fourth house ruler and makes him angular. So it's also going to bring up a lot of stuff around the home and the family that went on when you were little for you to clear, whether you want to clear it or not. You know, by putting stuff there, it will. And it kind of is an interesting solar return. It is not a solar return that would be selected for you by someone saying, oh, let's go optimize the year for her, because you're putting some of the lights in the 12th house, which suggests that you're going to want to be a little more behind the scenes this year if you pick this chart. And that's okay. You are finishing up some big cycles. And a lot of times when you're finishing up big cycles, you're releasing karma, and the return for August in Manchester is a releasing karma kind of chart.
Oh, wow. So if I told you another location, it would be different.
Totally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing with
the day would be the same, but what parts of your life that they're triggering would change.
Would be different.
Gotcha.
Right.
Wow. Well, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Martha, you got anything you want to add before we let you go?
Well, that eclipse that just happened was on my first house Mars or Venus,
yep.
I think
mm-hmm.
you
first
had said.
House, yep, your first house Mars, yep. Mm-hmm.
And what exactly does that mean, the first house Mars getting triggered? That's something or it was a Venus because they're both in the
well,
first
house. Well,
they're
both house. Right there, right? So what it was the south nodes going over them, and it's saying, so it's first house, eighth, seventh house. So for you, it was relationship issues coming up. Mars is the ruler of your 11th house, so it could have been relationships with an older sibling or with groups. And it would come up to clear. You know, part of what your chart wants to do with the Sun and Venus straddling the node is to move towards connected relationships. And this would have been an eclipse that said, we're not going to connect you necessarily with relationships. We're going to make you hear about how we want you to change how you are in relationships. So if people came to you and said, Denise, you have to change, you know, you're not doing it the way we want you to, or you got that kind of feedback, that person,
yes, I did.
That person is trying to get you to shift your nodal direction. And part of what you're doing, what the eclipse is having you say, well, I don't really want to, because the Sun is on the Mars, saying, no, I really want to do more of what I've been doing, not less.
Mm-hmm.
So it was to wake up, give yourself permission to do it. At the same time, it would have been criticism, and so whenever someone criticizes, we always have to think about, well, are they criticizing me because it's their issue, they're projecting on me, or are they criticizing me because this is really a growth point? And because the nodes are reversed, I think it's more of a growth point for both sides, your reaction
yes.
to the criticism and their
yes.
delivering of the criticism. The both of you need to kind of grow in the area that you felt criticized about, whether the criticism was valid or not, because it's more the process of being criticized was the issue.
Absolutely. But this happened more like in the middle of June. Would that
yeah, well, the eclipse cycle starts from 2 weeks before June 26th, so that's the...
Oh, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks before that, and then you process it, and you got another 2 weeks to process. So it's like a six-week cycle, because we do the 2 weeks before the lunar, the middle 2 weeks that we just did, and now the 2 weeks relaxing. So it's like a season. Think of it as a season where the issue comes up, we process, we get all bent out of shape, and then we go, okay, I got to figure out how to handle it. And this time the emotional part was first, and now the intellect part is taking over. Sometimes it's
that's
the
right.
Yeah.
Wow. Fascinating.
Yeah.
You had said that when we had the session, but I was thinking of another situation where. There's one that fits exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, wow, thanks for more insight on that.
You're welcome.
Okay. Well, have a great night. Thanks again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Nice to hear from the Scorpio moon people.
Yeah, there must be a Scorpio moon energy tonight, you know?
Yeah.
They're all calling in. It's a good thing. All right, we got 5 minutes left. We got time for one more. Okay, hi, 646,
yeah.
You're on the
call?
Air. Hello?
Hello?
You hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello? Hi, can we help you?
You got to turn down your radio.
Hi. Oh, is my radio on?
Well, I can hear us in the background talking.
We're getting feedback.
A slight delay. We're getting feedback.
What's your birthday and what's your question? We've got a few minutes left.
Okay, Can I just remain anonymous?
You got to give us your birth information.
We do need your birth information.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious about how the eclipse is affecting me. My birth date is 2/7/1967.
2/7/1967, and what time?
8 a.m.
Where?
And where?
New York, New York. Is that
okay.
better? I turned off the speakerphone.
Yeah, that's
much better. Thank you.
Okay. Sure.
So
thank you.
You were born with Aquarius Sun, Capricorn Moon, and a Pisces Rising.
Yeah.
And it looks like you had a little breathing space for the eclipses. They were close, but they didn't hit right on. Anna, do you see something differently? It looks to me like she had a little breathing room.
Yeah, she had a trine to the Vestas. So there could be some money issues
right.
around the house, but otherwise it's not a huge eclipse. With more of your children, do you have children? Firstborn child is the one that's been having the eclipse.
I'm firstborn, yeah.
No, do you have children?
Yes.
Oh, no, I don't have children.
You don't have children, okay. So
okay. In that case, a creative project that you've been working on or the results
yes.
of your creativity, like a child was, has been feeling the heat from the eclipse. It's not right on in that chart. It's not right on in that place. So it's not eclipsing it or getting rid of it. But you've had to do some pretty intense sorting in this year about the people in your life and the projects in your life to see which ones you want to carry forward and which ones you want to let go.
Okay.
And
yeah,
it's not always easy for you to do. You tend
yeah.
to hold on to things and people. But this year is saying, look, really, you know, that's not serving you. It's not producing a crop. Let it go. But this is, so run with that one. And
okay.
these people have been draining you. You've been strong for them because it looks like you are strong for a lot of people that need something from you.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they lean on you and they lean on you and you begin to take you begin to sometimes enable them, you feel for them, so you take care of them, and they need to be taken care of themselves. You need some tough love for them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some people in your life that I just want you, you know, to, you probably already done it, taken a step back from, and, you know, it's not that you cut them out of your life, but you're not putting energy into them that doesn't need to be put into them.
Right. Yeah, that's right on.
So, and because the eclipses were hitting your fifth and your 11th house. Anne, comments?
Mark, we've been not, he hadn't piped up, so he gets to have this one first crack before that we run out of time.
Okay. Yeah, I actually didn't get the birth time, but it's Pisces rising?
Pisces rising, 9 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Venus rising, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing good looks late into life.
That's right.
Good bone structure, too.
Good bone structure, yes. That's
oh, you guys are too sweet. Thank you. I'm blushing.
You're doing good, but I got Capricorn in the first house. You have cheekbones. This is a good chart for being photographed.
Right.
So, Mark, anything you see you want to add?
I think, well, what Heather was talking about, I think, relating particularly to the moon, the Capricorn moon,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's really lit up by this. And so there are decisions. What are you going to hold on to? What are you going to be responsible for? And just go with that. Go with what you are most liable to
okay.
be responsible for, what you enjoy being responsible for, and put
okay.
all your love and care into that.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's also a bit of a fight with God right now. You're kind of pissed off about something with the sun getting the inconjunct from the eclipse.
Uh-huh.
So the eclipse was inconjunct to your sun in the 12th, where normally you're kind of like, you know, I listen to my guys. I go ahead and I do what I'm supposed to do. I'm, you know, kind of free-floating, you know, Pisces rising, easygoing. Now you're mad about something. So you also need to figure out how to get that mad out of you and into
uh-huh.
a different place, because there's an inconjunct getting triggered a few ways in your chart, So when I see that, usually the person's irritated or irritable about something, and it's about really giving it permission to express so that it gets out of your body and it's out into the world. Huh?
Yeah. You have to say goodbye 10 seconds.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, you guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Take
and
care.
Thanks to everybody for listening. This is Access Astrology signing off. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.
Bye. From Heather and Newton.
Okay.
And from Anne in New York. Bye.
Mark in New York.
Hey, Mark.